there and welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. My name is Adam Cook and I'm joined by the lovely Adam Carroll.
Oh, I'm lovely. Thank you. Thank you very much, Adam Cook. I appreciate it.
That's all right. That's all right. I said you were lovely. It's fine. You are.
You're
lovely.
Usually you're lovely, mean lovely. Bollocks.
To you?
Do you know sometimes you might enter in somewhere. You don't know what way you ever start this show. Do you know some days I'm an amiibo?
No.
Do you know what goes on?
I dropped the amiibo thing. I'm wishing I brought it back now, but I'm not going to be able to quickly think one up enough because there's too many to look at. So I'm just going to say welcome also this week, Gary Bailey.
I don't get lovely. I'm just like, no, you're just this hanger on, you know.
I think you're lovely, Gez.
Wow.
Oh, thanks.
I don't. You're the Luigi of this podcast. There you go.
What does that mean?
I'll take that. Luigi's better than Mario.
Whoa.
Well... Jeez.
Like, let's face it, Luigi had kicked Mario in the face. And
you're just comparing height here now. You're just comparing height. Do you know the small people?
Can I just say?
Oh, no, I'm not even tall.
I am, but can I just say, at the risk of joining Gary in the caravan less than 2 minutes in, I think I actually prefer Luigi too.
Yes.
But hang on.
I think Mario's kind of a bit of a dick.
Yeah, he is.
You're both dickheads. You're both dickheads.
Right, all right, answer this. And I didn't expect to get this philosophical this early in the podcast. In the terms of the Mario games or Mario lore, name someone Mario actually gives a shit about, because it's not his brother. You know?
Yeah,
it's certainly not Yoshi.
Come on.
I mean,
no.
The same amount of times he just kicks them into
he
the chasm.
Everyone.
Does he? Does he?
Yeah.
Does he actually care about anyone?
He helps
all
Peach.
If he cared about Peach, why did it happen?
He tries every time to get Peach. He helps Toad. He's helped Luigi.
Everything Mario's he does is just to trying to get into Peach's pants.
Hey,
unsuccessfully.
How do you know?
The closest anyone's ever got to doing that in the games is Bowser when he nearly married her.
Wow.
Mario didn't. He could have proposed. To be honest as well, Mario looks like quite an old man sometimes, and Peach always looks quite young. Like, she looks like she's like 21 or something, and he still looks 50 to me. a sprightly 50.
He may look 50, but that man is healthy as fuck. He bounces everywhere. He does backflips.
Listen, no one's arguing that. I'm just saying, I'm not convinced that Mario actually cares about anyone.
He's too busy high as fuck on mushrooms.
Well... I mean, I'm going to leave it there. I think that's. I think people should weigh in. I think people should send us comments and tweets at God is a Geek about who is better, Mario or Luigi, and does Mario care about anyone? And that links nicely into does anyone care? Now it's finally out after being initially announced as a Switch game that Dark Souls Remasters is out on Switch. Does anyone actually care, Gary?
No.
They do, Gaz. Yeah, people will buy it. It was a bad thing.
The hardcore
link, but I went
fans
with it.
Will, but I don't think,
what you think
anyone else is that bothered. Like, because I think it's kind of like one of those games where most people have already played it, or they've picked it up on PS4 or Xbox One earlier in the year.
Well, it's better. Let's just say that right away.
No, there's no getting around it. It's so much better. And the only reason anyone's picking this one up is because of the handheld thing, which it's not good enough to recommend.
So, Adam, you originally said this was probably going to be you giving it a go. Now, you know,
yep.
and obviously that was when it was announced, the remaster was announced. Like, did you jump in on the, you know, PS4 and stuff?
Yeah. So,
of course you did. We talked about it.
Yeah,
sorry.
We did. And I'm not a fan. I'm just not a fan of the first Dark Souls.
That's right.
But I am really glad that I tried it on the PS4. Like, it must have been a sign, because when that game was initially supposed to come out, it must have been in a poor state.
Yeah, I can't imagine how bad it must have been.
It must have been in a poor state, man, because I'm not... Like, you guys have played it, I haven't touched the Switch, but I'm not hearing good reports on this one at all, if I'm honest.
Well, I played it pre-patch, because I believe there was a day one patch. I haven't played it since then. I played it like a week or two ago.
It didn't do that much.
Okay.
So let's
that's great.
Very, very quickly here, because I'm hearing a lot of stuff regarding the controls.
Yeah.
Is there's something with the layout of the buttons?
Well, they've reversed the sort of okay and cancel buttons on Switch.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's it fits with the other versions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but it doesn't fit with the Switch. But when you think the Switch, it's always the opposite way around kind of thing. It just feels awkward. And like the whole thing where you input your name,
that it's exactly switched again.
Yeah, like you're putting the name of your character. Obviously, it comes up with the Switch keyboard kind of thing.
Text keyboard, yeah. Like which is obviously a system level thing.
Yeah.
Where A and B are the other way around.
Yeah, so you just like you find yourself, you'll press B and it's like, yeah, you've just cancelled it. You know, fucks. You know, and it's awkward.
Yeah. Like, in all seriousness, I don't know how that got past the playtester.
Yeah, because like the number of times I went to like press, well, what would be A or X, you know, to pick something up, and it's like, no, I've just pressed roll, you know, that kind of thing. It's just odd the other way around. It's weird. I don't quite understand that.
So I've played it, like, you know, it's always unfair to sort of talk about Switch's graphics when you're playing on a 4K telly, you know, on a console that just doesn't do it. It's always going to look a little bit worse for wear, but like, I don't think it looks that bad. Like, it's got the new lighting engine, I think, and it looks all right. I had some slow, I mean, there's video evidence of it. Like, I mean, I failed at the first boss. Like, that is, I don't know. I'm not going to make excuses. I was just shit at the game. But like, there's noticeable slowdown in that first area, which really surprised me, because everyone says Blighttown's much better now, and I haven't played enough to go through it. There's issues with the audio not sounding great. Mm. But I think the biggest thing for me is a very much a personal preference, is that what Dark Souls Remastered on Switch actually made me realise is I now know why I don't play Switch games in handheld mode very often. And it's because I'm just not comfortable. I would rather stick it in the dock and play it on a controller. And it's like the triggers, the analog sticks, they're all fine if all you can do is portable. Like, it's a brilliant console for if you travel a lot on public transport or go away a lot. It's a great console to have for that. But for me, it's not comfortable sitting on my sofa playing that console. And Dark Souls is especially not comfortable, right, Gaz?
Yeah. Well, like, I mean, I said to you, it's like I played like 80 hours of Zelda on just like the Joy-Cons in the grip, and I've never had an issue with it. But playing this, it really made me realise just how uncomfortable it can be, because when you know everything is the triggers or the shoulder buttons on Dark Souls, your block, your parry, your attacks are all on there.
Mm.
And it's just not that comfortable to hold. I played it in like on the TV, obviously, for a while as well, with them in the grip, and even then, again, it's still not great, but it's worse in handheld, because obviously you're holding the full weight of the console as well.
Now, so I suppose the thing to say is that if this had come out at the same time and we were reviewing this as the lead platform, so to speak, and you weren't playing the PS4, hadn't played the PS4 version, it maybe wouldn't have been as noticeable. But like, it's still, I don't want to spend too long talking about it, because I feel like, and you've played more of it than me, and you know, the reviews on the site, but I feel like it does boil down to what we said before, is that this is a great option to have, but it's definitely the inferior version.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds harsh because it's still a good game, and it plays fine, but it is the worst version, really.
Yeah. Well, that's it, because it's the frame rate which is the worst part, because it's not like unplayable or anything like that.
No, not at all.
Blighttown was in the original stuff, because like I've been through obviously through Blighttown, I've been through the worst sort of areas that were in the game. Like, there was Blighttown and the fireplace, I can't remember what it's called now.
I don't know.
Lost Izalith, that's it. Like, I've been through there. Like, those were two especially bad areas. Same with New Londo. But they're fine. Except it never really stays at a steady 30. You can tell, even without like a frame rate count or anything, you can tell that, I mean, this is struggling to hit 30 a lot of the time. And because of that, there are times where it doesn't register button presses in time. It's got the input lag of that, like those missing frames. Because there were times where I'm like, right, I'm pressing dodge, and it's just not working straight away. You know, it's like there's that noticeable slight delay, and so you're getting hit when you shouldn't be. Mm. Kind of thing. And it's just like that. It's not acceptable. And like I said in the review, I can't just say, oh, it's fine because it's the Switch. Because it's not. It's not good enough. And they might patch it, they might fix it, I don't know. But
I think they'll try.
Yeah, but I mean, at the moment, there's no way I could recommend it. Unless it's your only way of playing it, and you've never played Dark Souls before, or you just want to play it again, you know, you played it on the 360 or something, and you just want to play like an updated version, then, you know, fair enough if the Switch is your only platform. But when you've got the PS4 and Xbox One, and they're much better and cheaper at this point, just get one of them.
Well, I mean, I think we've been very negative there, but I think it's more a case of it's like a PSA, really, isn't it? It as we say, it's fine. It's absolutely fine, yeah. But the other versions are better. In terms of games that run smoothly, Call of Duty Black Ops 4 has run smoothly, very much so. And like myself and Nicola talked about it a great deal last week, but Gary and Adam, yourself, obviously hadn't played it, and you have now, right, Ads?
Yep. I haven't, like, dived super deep into any of the content bar Blackout, because to be honest, everyone, like, when this being announced, just I'm not really into this series. I'm kind of just, it's not my thing anymore. But the conversations that are happening over Blackout and how people are talking, I'm just like, I'm gonna have to really check this out. And I've played a couple of games, and so I've played Fortnite, I've played a bit of PUBG, and I'm guessing, is that it in terms of Battle Royale big ones?
There are others.
H1Z1.
Yeah, okay. So
there's Battle Royale. There's lots of Battle Royales.
There's a lot, but like
now,
in terms
really.
Of like the really, really popular ones, they're the only kind of ones I've played. And Blackout is probably my favourite one. I don't know if that works for the community or whatever, but like, I have.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Does it help Call of Duty can never be accused of being like bug ridden? You know, it can never be accused of being like a slouch in the technical aspects. Blackout runs. It's glossy. It's smooth, isn't it?
Yeah, like no issues. I don't have issues. I'm playing it on a PS4. I have no issues.
But do you not think that adds to it? Like, when you play PUBG on Xbox, especially if you did when it came out, or even now on PC, it still feels that kind of jankiness, whereas Blackout feels high budget.
Yeah. And the thing is, I really enjoy the maps and stuff, and I enjoy the weapons, as you were speaking about it last week. The weapons are just brilliant. And I feel, for me, who it just isn't into this kind of thing and doesn't play much online shooter games, like, I'm okay at the game. Like, I'm getting places with it. And that, to me, feels really rewarding in terms of the way it's balanced. Now, there's going to be people out there who are just, like, insane already at it. But I can still go into it, have fun, and don't feel like I'm being, like, shat all over it, you know? And I gotta say, I'm a big fan of that Just Cause entrance. I'm sold.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, brilliant, wingsuit, I'm sold. Like, super early days for me, but I'm going to go back to it, and I'm going to play a bit more, because as we're recording right now, I think it's double XP this weekend.
Yeah, it is.
So yeah, I'm really excited. I'd love to get in a couple of games with you lads and get around with it, but so far, so good.
Well, Gary, I remember saying, he said to us in Slack, like, he said, like, Blackout looks cool, but I'm not buying a game for that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you've played Black Ops 4 now as well, Gaz.
Yeah. I'm going to get the negative stuff out the way first.
Okay, that's fine. It's not, like, listen, there's a negative I didn't mention last week, and I wonder if you guys will know it yet. Like, I think they need to patch it so that you get some points for doing something.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you don't get a kill, you get nothing. And that's a silly thing.
Yeah, I know.
Especially in a game where Black Ops generally, and Call of Duty is, like, always rewarding you for something. But the levels go up, the bar moves, whereas in Blackout, it doesn't.
Yeah.
But yeah, sorry, guys. Go on.
It's just one thing. I noticed that I think you've got to be at least top 15 before you'll get...
Top 15 or get a kill.
Yeah, and it's like that. Yeah, when like me, I love PUBG, you get rewarded for a lot of different things. It's not massive amounts, but you'll get something. And yeah, that was a little bit thing. But the negatives so far have been the tutorial stuff. Not in the fact that you've got the tutorial that teaches you how to play the different classes and stuff like that. That's fine. But why the story? It just doesn't it's badly done. And it's like, even the...
It is, yeah.
Like, the character models that they got, like, I forget her name, but, like, the main woman who's, like, putting together this team, whatever, I'm like, she looks weird. Like, her face is weird. And it's, like, it's badly animated, and it kind of looks like... Remember when you used to get, like, CG intros for every game on, like, the PS1 and PS2? It's like that. I'm not saying it's that bad, you know, like, it's not like
it's pretty good looking all told, I think.
Yeah, but it's just those scenes are a little bit awkward and it doesn't fit. And when you've got that, was it Frank Woods coming back? Is he the guy you were talking about who's like, I'm a man?
So is she Frank Woods or Mason's great great granddaughter? She's one of them.
Mason's something. Yeah, okay.
She's Mason's like great great granddaughter or something like that. So she's related. It does all tie in. Like, Frank Woods is like not.
Yeah,
that's a hologram.
Yeah,
he's
basically like CG version of him, kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, that stuff was kind of shit.
It's bad. The story's bad.
But the actual gameplay is brilliant. And like, I've not delved much into it so far, but like, the Blackout, it seems very good so far. I mean, I've not played enough, but I'm still more of a PUBG person. I can't see this replacing that yet for me on a personal level, obviously.
Well, like, I think once we get together and play together, I wonder if that will change, because Blackout is way more fun together.
I'm kind of hoping. I think it's more that the Call of Duty gameplay doesn't suit me. You know,
which is fair enough. I do get that, because like, I'm not good at like the COD stuff, but like, I'm not that good at all. But I was kind of always felt I was a bit better at Battlefield or something like that. So I understand what you're on about.
It just bugged me that I said in our Slack channel, so I didn't realize there was kind of perks that you can use, like items essentially, to do various things. When I was killed, I was like, okay, let's have a look at the kill cam. I'm like, this guy's aiming at me and he's not looking at me. Like, I'm not, like, in view. You know, I'm behind the wall.
I think what happened to you there is there's, like, a dart you can fire. But the thing is, that requires some skill still, because if you just fire it randomly, it's a huge map.
Yeah.
Like, you need to... Like, so, I, for example, if you hear someone in the... or you know someone is around.
Yeah.
Or you saw three people land in the area. It's like, well, I'm going to fire this into the corner of that building, and it pings your radar. It's like a UAV. It's like a UAV dart. I think there are skills that let you see like vehicles through walls. I can't remember, but like it's not just a win button. Because you're still a moving target, and I think, you know, if you're running around jumping around, you're going to make more noise. I'm not sure if that plays in as well, but it's not a win button.
No, I mean, that's good to know, because it's like, it was one of those things at first. That's why I asked the question, because I was like, is this dude cheating, or have we got cheaters already? I'm like, but if that was the case, I'm still not super cool with it, because I'm like, I don't think
so,
that
so there are
fits
other stuff,
it, but...
like, no, you see, that's the thing. The more you play it, the more you'll realize it does. Like, there's other ones like that let you essentially sprint while crouching, or being prone, you can move like three times quicker or whatever. There's one that, like, I think there's one that if you melee people, you get health back. You know, there's like all these different things that one lets you heal quicker. It's about knowing when to use these. They're one-time use items.
It doesn't tell you what they are, though, does it, when you pick stuff up?
It does.
I don't even know what it was.
So rather than using the quick menus, actually bring up your menu, your PUBG-style menu, hover over it, and it'll tell you what it does.
Right, okay.
It doesn't tell you that. The game, it's difficult, because one thing that Black Ops 4 is bad at is tutorials. Like, the actual like special operation stuff is great for tutorializing, but everything else is bad, and I didn't notice that because I play every Call of Duty every year.
Yeah, right.
So I just know that that's that, that does that. Okay, yeah, that's that, that does that. You know, whereas other people who don't play Call of Duty every year are going to look at those menus even and go, but like, no, if you go into the main actual, if you press start or whatever, you know, bring up your inventory, you can hover over anything like those things,
that's
and
cool.
It will say,
okay, that's good.
What this is, this does this.
I mean, I'm like, sort of to balance it out, I mean, PUBG is no better for that. You know, I learned on that game, so I think it's going to be the same with this. I'm going to have to play it more, and I'll start figuring stuff out and maybe not get killed so easily, but I don't see that being much different.
No, and I think the thing I prefer about this over PUBG is that PUBG, you can spend a whole game doing nothing, seeing no one, and then you just suddenly die, and it's like, well, shit, that's 30 minutes. COD is not 30 minutes.
They've seemed to have... they've kind of gone the Fortnite route, haven't they, where everything happens quickly.
Yeah. Well, I feel like there's more loot. I feel like generally, in terms of Battle Royale, I've not played a game with this much loot.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like, the first building
if you go in a building
into,
in Fortnite, there's three. Yeah. 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 That's it. Like four guns or something on the floor.
Yeah.
Like four actual guns. Like, you know, in Fortnite, even in Fortnite, you can land and you're running around like, shit, I haven't got a gun yet. Shit. You know, I need to get a gun. Like, this is like, you'll get a gun. You know?
One thing I just want to add that I think it's not a bad thing, but I really find the use of colour across the entire game is really strange.
Okay.
I think it just looks... It's not that it's not like as polished at all. It is polished, but it's really like... I don't know, the only word I can describe it is like hyper. It's like the colour is very like...
See, Nicola said something like this, and I really like how this game looks.
But
I don't know. I think a game across the board looks pretty great. It does look good,
but I don't know what it is. It's just really like
this very saturated kind of thing.
Yeah,
that's what Nicola said. Yeah.
Like
I get that. Yeah.
If you see green, it's fucking green. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like check out this color.
Isn't that a positive? Like in terms of like a shooter where shooters for a long time were just browns and greys.
I wonder if they've done it on purpose because it's kind of like obviously there's. The comparisons to PUBG, obviously, because they're both kind of real world, if you know what I mean. Whereas, like, PUBG is very realistic, the way the palette is. So whether they've kind of gone, we don't want to look quite like that, we want to at least add a bit more colour. Maybe they've just done that.
Are they saying we want to look a bit like Fortnite?
Possibly, because I mean, they're kind of
no matter where
between,
you go,
aren't they?
No matter where you go, if you see somebody from a distance on a screen playing Fortnite, you'll know it's Fortnite. Like, the colours in that game are like, they stand out. And I just feel it's not to that level by no degree, but it's kind of like they took just kind of ramp it up a small bit to make it look like that. As I said, not a bad thing, but I've always kind of, from previous COD games, I've always looked at them and went, whoa, that looks pretty good. That like...
See, I really think it looks good. I feel like I'm the only one.
So I've not played it enough to really give an account yet. But I'm hoping to play. I'm looking forward to playing more.
It just kind of takes away the kind of, I don't know, that realism in some sense. I don't know. Like, it was just something that really stood out. No, it doesn't distract me at all, and I don't think it would distract anyone. But it was just a thing, just a small thing.
Before we move away, then, I suppose it is worth just... I mean, this is news, but Black Ops 4 has basically broke sales records for Activision on the PS4 PlayStation Store. PC sales apparently doubled last year. Basically, Black Ops 4 has done really well. Rob Kostic from Call of Duty's team said, Black Ops 4 is an incredible game. Community response has been amazing. We've shattered multiple digital day ones. Because a lot of people were trying to sell the narrative of, it's not doing very well, and it's like... people were using that as like, it's not sold well in the charts. It's like, people are buying digital more.
Yeah.
That's what this is. Just back to the games we're playing. I just wanted to mention Soul Calibur 6 a little bit. I haven't been able to dedicate as much time to playing this as I would like. It sure does seem like Soul Calibur.
Did you play as Geralt first?
I haven't played as Geralt at all, mate. Wow. I forgot he was in it.
Wow!
Because I was playing the story mode.
Right. Okay.
That's all I've done. I'd say this really is like. We'll get Chris on to talk about it properly, perhaps another week. But wow, if you like text, then this story mode's for you. Like, there sure is a lot of text. I took a couple of screenshots because I called my character Bellend. I've started doing that a lot recently. unless I'm really invested in the game, if it's a character creator and they get to name them, they're called Bellend. I don't know why that. I like that word. I think it's a funny word that you don't hear enough. Like, you Bellend. Whatever, but yeah, there's a lot of text in this game and it's very tutorially at the start, which is fine, but I think it's probably too tutorially because you've forgotten the stuff you learned before you even finish the tutorials. It's Soul Calibur. It's gorgeous, plays really well. The fighting's excellent. It's Soul Calibur. Like, I don't know what more to say about it for now because I haven't played enough of it. I'm going to try and find some time to play more of it. And I think that's probably the same for you with LEGO DC Supervillains, Gaz, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. It's like, we got the code a little bit late, didn't we? And
Warner Brothers and LEGO games, the code usually comes on release day.
Right. So. Okay. So, yeah. So, in that respect, we got it sort of early. But, it seems a lot bigger than, like, the other LEGO games, in terms of like the amount of story missions there are. They just seem to be a lot of them, which isn't a complaint because it's nice, you know, it's fun. There's a lot of humour in this one.
They just seem to be like sporadically two or three times a year releasing a new LEGO game.
Yeah, obviously, I think there's no way if you don't like LEGO games, you're going to suddenly like this one because it's exactly the same as the others. You know, there's no particular difference between this and the others unless you're like a DC fan. You know, you'll get some cool stuff in there. But it's more LEGO. It's kind of interesting to play one of these games without Batman, Wonder Woman, all that lot because obviously you're playing as the villains, which is quite cool, especially because you start off by making your own character.
Right.
That's quite different because normally you're just playing as all the other, you know, the comic characters, whatever.
Yeah, that is different.
Yeah, so I think they've kind of tried to personalize it a little bit more. So you're playing as this villain and you get to pick from a small amount of powers, but you can unlock more as you go and you can continually customize it as you play. You know, so initially I made mine with super speed. But after a bit I was like, this is just jarring because it's just like you press left and it's other side of the screen straight away, you know, and I'm like, right, I need this slowing down a bit to my speed. But yeah, the fact that you can keep continually customizing is quite nice. But it's weird that you can choose a voice, but they never actually speak. It's just the kind of the grunts and stuff and combat. So it's kind of like, why bother with that? Because they actually reference it, you know, like they joke about it, about you not speaking. Or it's like the whole thing with Gordon Freeman, you know, like, oh, you don't talk much, do you? That kind of thing. And it's like,
right.
It's kind of funny, but at the same time, it's like, you could have just given him a voice. Just give him a voice.
Yeah.
But it's good fun. It's nice that they've got, like, you know, the old voice actors in to do it. So when Batman was in it before he did, like, the Justice League disappeared, it was Balls, what's his name?
Kevin Conroy.
That's the one, thank you. And, you know, you've got like Tara Strong as Harley Quinn, you've got Mark Hamill back as the Joker.
Awesome.
I think it's Nolan North is Ultraman, like the sort of the dodgy version of Superman. You've got that kind of comedy villain, a little bit pantomime. But yeah, it's not going to tempt anyone to suddenly play LEGO games if they didn't like them before. But I'm enjoying it, more than I thought I would, actually.
Fair, yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of all we've got to talk about games wise this week because we're all playing games that we can't talk about this week. So come back next week and the week after, actually, I think, for some talk on those games. Let's get into news. GamesMaster and GamesTM. If you're not from the UK, I think you'll have heard of GamesMaster for sure. Yeah. I don't know. I think that the brand is known enough.
Yeah, it definitely.
Yeah, even from the days of the TV show. But like GamesMaster and GamesTM. So GamesTM is a magazine that was once owned by Imagine Publishing. Then Future, who kind of own all of the print game stuff now, most of the print game stuff now, bought Imagine and brought them into there. I've actually written for both these magazines, so this is not a happy story. This is not a nice story to be talking about. GamesMaster and GamesTM mags are ending. Basically, I think GamesTM's November issue is the last one, which means that this is the next issue. GamesMaster, yeah, again, another one's gone. Their Future is shutting those down, which leaves them with kind of OXM, so official Xbox magazine, official PlayStation magazine, and Edge, I think, will be their major lineup of games mags.
Yeah.
It's sad, but
I suppose, like, it's kind of the way things are going. Like, everything is digital now. and
yeah, but you don't can buy these mags. Yeah, it's like you can read them on an iPad. I don't know.
Yeah, you don't. Nobody wants this to happen.
Not at all, man. It's really, really gutting.
Yeah, you kind of wish they'd have just gone, okay, we're not going to do print ones anymore, but we'll still have, you know, like the digital versions, that kind of thing. It just seems a bit. Yeah, it's a sad story. No matter how
it
you
is,
look at
and,
it,
and it's difficult to talk about because I know literally people. I mean, personally, I know people. I've been commissioned by the people who are not going to be working on the magazines, and the thing is, I know they loved them. I know that, like, the GamesTM's deputy editor, I know he loves. He works really hard, and he loves what he does, and like he's good at it, obviously. And it just is just.
Can I just quickly throw in a little thing about this, right? Like, obviously, it's like really poor news. It's rubbish. It is dog shit. But just to say, in a different world, which is like the world I'm also in love with, which is the horror world, there was a similar thing happened a couple of months ago to a magazine called Fangoria, which is like worldwide known as like the biggest horror magazine. Very similar thing. And what ended up happening was everyone was in the same boat of going, oh, this is awful, this is awful. But a lot of fans kind of went, no, this can't really happen. Like, there's going to be people out of jobs and stuff. And they came forward and said, put out a fun thing, let's support this, let's keep it going, whatever. So it went on and it ended up happening, okay? Now, all I'll say to these things is, I know it's really hard when we live in a world where we're all on the phones and laptops and not sound like the old men, but, like, these kind of things, if you are passionate about it, support it still. This is the only way it's going to stay. Every form of I know it's not every day you'll see somebody going and buying a magazine. It's pretty rare. Like, I do it every now and then. Like, I'm not saying that I'm a saint to do it. But if you need these things, if you're really, like, wanting to live, keep buying it. Like, when does this magazine come out? Once a month or something? Like, whoever you really look up to in whatever industry you basically are a fan of, if it's one writer and you know that they work for Games Master, so keep supporting. The money's going towards their work. And I think that goes across the board with, like, even developers. Like even if you're not a fan of a certain developer's next title, who gives a shit? Just give them the money anyway, because they might do another title down the line that you will love. I just need to stress that out there, because there's a lot of these things happening now, and it sucks because we all like the content. Like, and Games Master, it is a great magazine. Like, I used to buy quite a bit.
It's like, there's Games Master's a reason why a lot of people got into games writing.
Yeah. It's a great magazine, and this is a shitty situation, but, like, I'd be interested to see if it could be turned around if the offer was on the table. I don't know, but, like, these people have made their life through this, and it's so shit. But, like, to sum it all up, just support the stuff you love. I cannot stress that enough, and that's across the board with every single thing you like.
Like God Is a Geek on Patreon. That's a terrible timing to do that. But, you know, I mean, I felt like you were feeding it. I'm not going to do that. It feels wrong. No, like, we'll talk about that at the end.
Yeah, but no, but that is, like, I do think it's a very serious matter. These things are coming.
It's dreadful.
They're coming more frequently than they ever have been. And, like, when we get up and we read someone's content, we need to realise that somebody took their free time, probably getting fuck all money, to do this for you, for your entertainment, for your purpose of, like, enjoyment. Just do whatever you can. Whatever it is. If you like whoever's content, give them the support. It needs to happen, because these things will end. They can't run on nothing.
Well, moving on to, I think I'm going to say this is positive news, but Sony have announced that after delaying Days Gone, they are delaying Days Gone. Originally, they had re-announced it as February the 22nd, 2019, which was a ridiculous day for a new IP to launch, Sony or not. Now it's coming in April. The team will use this extra time to polish the experience further. Good, because, like, every time their previews were out for this game, they were not positive.
No. I still don't feel like I know what this game is. Beyond zombies and, like, I don't know, the dude who was in, who was Starkiller in Star Wars. I don't really know a lot about this game. I feel like they could do more with that in this time as well.
Yeah, like a story trailer or two.
Yeah, so
I really hope that this game does deliver. I do, because that last gameplay trailer that we all saw, I thought everybody really went, ooh, Days Gone actually looks pretty decent. Do you know?
Yeah, but then they let people play it and they were like, it's pretty generic and dull.
I know, yeah.
But I mean, like, yeah, like you say, though, this is, it could be good in that they're polishing it for this extra couple of months. You know, there's always
it's
a chance
that
they've turned
this up.
2 months
isn't a lot.
It's really not.
It could give them the time just to tweak it enough to make it a little bit better.
I'm not convinced this is the last delay we're going to see for this game.
Shall we you put a bet out there for it?
When it will come out?
Yeah.
July.
July.
2019.
I'd stick with April. I think it will make this one.
Okay.
I'm going to say it's going to be early June. Around that,
okay,
but okay. I am. I don't know if we'll get another delay. I'll be if another delay comes into place. I think that's where I'm going to be like going back to this exact moment and being like, okay, yeah, maybe this isn't going to be great.
Do you know what I think will be great? We didn't unfortunately get invited to the preview event because by God, I want to play this game. It's weird, and I'll be honest, I am brutally concerned about the release date for this game, but Hitman 2 is, God, I love that hit. I've always liked the Hitman games, but this one, like, it's coming November 13th, so less than a month after Red Dead 2. I'm super worried about this game. But they're marketing it well because Sean Bean will star as Hitman's first elusive target. Now, anyone who knows Sean Bean's characters, there's a reason this is so good, and they've actually called him the Undying because he's a master of faking his own death. Sean Bean said, "I'm thrilled to be part of the upcoming Hitman 2 video game because, you know, fans of games always say things like, I'm going to be in the Hitman 2 video game."
Yeah.
You know, let's not pretend this isn't a paycheck, but the idea behind it's great. It's always exciting to take on a new role, and I look forward to seeing my character in action when the elusive target mission launches. He's not got a clue what he's talking about, has he?
No. But I genuinely love the fact that they've made him an ex MI5 agent and stuff like that. Yep. It's just like, they did that on purpose. They know they've kind of turned him into a parody, but
yep,
it'll work with Hitman because Hitman's, even with its serious stuff, it's always had that kind of little hint of that on the edge of it.
See, Hitman's weird now because like I can't tell if the devs know how mad it is. I can't tell anymore if they know it's just ridiculous.
I think Hitman has a good future. If I'm honest,
I am very concerned because I wonder if making it non-episodic is the right move. This is now just a normal game's coming out, the whole game's there. And I feel like one of the things that did Hitman's last game so well is that every time a new episode come out, people like us jump on it, do videos on it, review it, write about it, talk about it on Twitter. Whereas this is going to be kind of that thing of it's not Destiny, it's not Red Dead, it's not Spider-Man. People I don't think are going to be sharing videos, clips and social shit of this for weeks on end. And that worries me because, like, it's amazing this game's coming at all. Because, like, you got to remember, IO Interactive bought their own IP back off of Square, got out, were independent, re-released Hitman independently. I think they used Warner Brothers. And then they announced Hitman 2 with Warner Brothers. And I'm worried. I really think they're onto something amazing. Finally, Hitman's got this thing. Like, I've liked the Hitman games, but never loved them until the last one. And I'm worried. Like, I feel like the episodic thing was working for them. And unless it's a publisher edict where they've said, no, we don't do that. Release the game.
Possibly,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. I still haven't actually played the last one.
Oh guys, no joke, man. Like that, like, I'm jealous. That last Hitman game, I'm going to say it right now, it's the best Hitman game. It is, in my opinion, I think it does everything so well. And the level situation, as you were saying, Adam, like you'll play the same map for so long and it just doesn't get annoying. But you
won't if the second map's already available, if it's just the whole game there.
Yeah, correct. Like there
or
was...
will you? I don't know. Maybe you will.
Well,
they've
added that kind of multiplayer sort of thing, haven't they? Where it's like you're sort of seeing the ghosts of other people's.
Well, also all the first game's maps are in the sequel as well. So, like, I mean, if I were Gary, I'd just wait now for two.
I think what might happen here is we're going to get a very similar game, like, again, but I think we're going to probably, hopefully, well, I don't know if I really want it, but a story driven. I think we're going to get a very big, I think they want to add in a big story here. Now, whether that involves Sean Bean from start to finish, I don't know, but I think it's only going to be for that one area.
Yeah, I think it's just in this elusive target.
Yeah, it's just an elusive target, yeah. It's like timed missions.
Yeah,
what if they bring in, like, a celebrity for each one? Like,
well, they did do that last.
Yeah, they did. Was it Gary Busey?
Gary Busey, yeah, he was in it.
Let's say it's Warner Brothers. They've got access to a lot of
Frodo
names,
Baggins.
So,
Batman is the elusive target.
Hey, Elijah Wood's got into games and stuff now.
He's with Ubisoft. But they seriously put Batman in it. Make Batman an elusive target. That would be absolutely...
Yeah, but how are you supposed to kill Batman?
Yeah, you wouldn't work.
That's what I'm getting at. But in Hitman, you're talking about a game where you can throw a can of baked beans at someone's head to knock them out. I want to do that with Batman.
But he is in 47. I think that'd be amazing. He walks around slowly. He's supposed to be stealthy. Like Batman's going to be up in the building. Like, what are you going to do? It's going to be too hard.
Right, listen. I'm winning this one. No. In Hitman, Agent 47 puts on the... He gets a drummer, right? Knocks a drummer out, puts his clothes on, and everyone just believes he's that drummer, right? Okay? So he just puts on the clothes of any one of Batman's friends or Batman's dad. And Batman just comes to oh my god, and then he just throws a can of beans at his head. Batman's out.
You could just put the Batman outfit in it, like that could be one of his, like, in a, you know,
Gary's
a costume party sort of thing. You could do that.
Yep.
Like, that's ridiculous. But to be honest,
it's brilliant.
You saying that can of beans thing, like for anybody who has not played this Hitman game, like, people are going to be like, what, a can of beans? That sounds stupid. But the thing is,
it is.
You can do these things in the game, and it's so hilarious when you finish a mission that terribly, in a way.
Like, I'm not going to lie to you. I own Hitman on PS4 digitally, Xbox One digitally. I also have the Steelbook of Hitman. I have the re-released Warner Brothers Hitman box copy and the limited edition of Hitman. I love that
game. Did you
get
the collector's edition with the red tie?
I don't remember having a tie. It's got a statue.
So it came with a statue, and I think
I have got the tie. Yeah,
a red tie in his pin.
Yes, I have got that. Yeah.
Like, great game, you know. Gary, get it. Seriously.
Well, I'd say don't. I'd say wait now, because the maps are going to be in Hitman 2, so.
Yeah, I mean, just wait. I must admit, I consider, because it's on Game Pass at the minute, and I was like, I could do that.
Oh my god, Gary, you haven't even got to pay for it.
No, but the thing is, I was like, but I've got so much to play at the minute.
It'd be
pointless. I wouldn't actually get time to play it. Because, like, with stuff obviously for the site, I've still got Assassin's Creed Odyssey to play as well.
Same.
So it's kind of like, you know what? Yeah, like, at some point I will get around to playing it along with half a dozen others. But...
like, I haven't touched Assassin's Creed, and it's kind of getting at me now. Like, I kind of want to play it. And yesterday I was saying to you, Adam, if the game world could just pause.
Stop.
Right now. Just like, give us Red Dead and then pause for the next, like, 6 months. That'd be okay with me.
Well, I'm not sure I want it to pause, because the last news story this week is about Marvel Spider-Man, which has, by the time you hear this, it's been released, the Heist DLC. The interesting thing for me, I kind of haven't got time right now to jump back into it, and I platinumed it, so it's like finding an excuse. But the patch obviously added new game plus mode, and it's also added, like, new suits. And I was thinking about those suits. How does that work? Because a lot of the suits, because there's three new suits, right? But a lot of the suits needed backpacks and stuff. And I feel like I've drained that world of resources apart from having to redo the challenge tokens.
Yeah.
So has anyone booted it up and found out how you get them suits yet?
I haven't yet, no.
No.
Kind of hope they're just unlocked?
Possibly.
Because you can't go and get more backpacks. You can't do that. Like I said, the only thing you can do is improve your challenge times. And the fact that you can sort of unlock all the other suits without needing to three-star all those challenge things makes me wonder and worry slightly. Or crime tokens, I guess. You could do more crime tokens.
You might add a few extra bits like that.
I'd be kind of okay with the backpacks. If they added more backpacks, I'd be like, okay. I wouldn't be offended. I wouldn't be pissed off.
I just don't think they will. I don't think that's the way.
No, I don't think they will either. No, But I wouldn't mind.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the DLC. I must admit, hopefully, yeah. you know, yeah. I probably will find time.
Well, I was bought the season pass for my birthday, so I'm like, yes,
yeah, I've
I'm
got
well,
it too. Yeah,
I'm nice. well in for that now. I was gonna get it anyway, but it's nice to have.
How much was that, guys?
Well, it was given to me, so it's free.
Oh, it was given to you.
But I think it's like 16 quid, I think, for the the season pass, which is quite good.
It's $13.99 on, I'm just looking now, cdkeys.com. Marvel Spider-Man's The City That Never Sleeps, PS4, $13.99.
There you go.
Like, that's all right.
And
actually, I mean, CD Keys, there's also $9.99, so I'm not entirely sure.
Okay.
Don't know.
But I mean, it's three chapters.
Three
is
parts,
it?
Yeah, three chapters. Yeah,
like this. So I suppose it depends on how big these are, but I imagine it'll be at least a few missions worth.
So it's $24.99, or each episode is $9.99. So that's all that is.
Right. Okay.
I wonder how significant they are.
That's what
we'll
I mean.
See. I guess we'll know by the time people listen to this. People might have finished it actually. So.
I do hope that we're not going to get like an Arkham Knight season pass job. Because
they were bad. All the Arkham stuff, yeah.
That was bad.
Yeah. Well, let's move into listener correspondence. I should say it's a bit of a shorter podcast this week, but as I say, that's because there's games we can't yet talk about on the podcast. Darren at ROTMM said he's driving in the Cotswolds and there's a stone wall beside the road, and I think I could just drive through that and across the field. He's referring to Forza Horizon 4. Have you had a game experience that has filtered into real life? He says, like entering a dark room and having a Resident Evil flashback, or, I don't actually get this one, or Stormy with Trump's penis. Stormy?
Stormy Daniels, the porn star.
Okay.
I don't know, but that's all in.
It just sounds like, it's her, she's a porn star, you know.
Stormy Daniels is that porn star who's just been like all over like the internet right now over the last few weeks, calling out about like the size of Trump's penis and stuff. She wrote a book and she's explaining all these things about it. She said it's just, I don't know, a small penis or something.
We all knew that.
Like, I didn't really want to read about his penis. Like, it's just so stupid.
Well, to be fair, I don't want to read about him full stop, ever.
Like, I haven't been anywhere that's reminding me of Trump's penis, if that's what this question is meaning.
No, so I can give an example, because I know I do have one. So they're asking if there's a game experience. Darren's asking if there's a game experience that's sort of bled into real life. So you play a game so much or something, you go outside and you see the game, or you feel like, oh, God, yeah, that thing in that game, I could do that. So for me, that happened with The Witness. You draw line puzzles, and I was walking around and I would see and it would make me think, oh, I could just draw that line. That was one that happened to me. And I didn't even love The Witness. Like, I found The Witness made me feel thick, but I did definitely have that where I'd walk outside and see things. Like, oh, that could be The Witness.
That was a weird thing
world.
That was going on, yeah. A lot of people
were
so that
anything
way.
Like that, he's saying.
I think the only one that really comes to my mind, if there's ever like a really like the road I live on, like where my family live, it has one of those, like, all that's outside it is a street lamp. And whenever it's, like, super foggy, it just reminds you of Silent Hill. That's the closest thing I can get to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I've really got anything. It's similar thing where when it's foggy, it just makes me think of Silent Hill if it's really foggy. But
yeah.
I mean, I have this thing that whenever I see someone dressed as Batman, I try and throw a can of baked beans at his head. But I can only think of The Witness. Is there anything else? You know, whenever I see a child, like, when I think I'm Kratos, I have to shout boy, perhaps. I don't know.
Do you actually
not
do
real.
That?
No, of course not. Of course I don't.
Just going into a child's park and going, boy.
Yeah. I kind of want to now, but no.
I'll pay your money to do it.
No, it's just, like I say, the only one for me is The Witness. Like, I did see line puzzles where they weren't line puzzles. Occasionally, if I'm walking around in certain areas and the shadow falls right, I think the shadow looks like a penis. That's what he's asking. I mean, I don't know. Bongo Billy is back this week and he wants to know, would you rather fight a bear naked for a minute with a bread knife, or let a lion maul you for 10 seconds whilst wearing chainmail?
Thank you for this, Bongo. This is an easy one for me, I think, because I don't give a shit if I'm wearing clothes or if I'm naked in front of a bear, because it's a goddamn bear. So, like, I don't think the bear is going to be offended if you're naked. He just wants to kill you. And if I only have to survive for a minute, with a bread knife, like, you can run away. However, a lion on top of you mauling you for 10 seconds, that's just Panic City. That's where you're just you're just going to freak out and you don't know what's going to happen. Like, how do you get out of that?
If it was a case of, like, cause he just says for 10 seconds, so I'm assuming for whatever reason that lion will go away after 10 seconds. It's not...
But mauling you.
Hang on. Listen. There's a really important part of this question. I don't feel like you guys have noticed. He said, let me read the question to you again. Would you rather fight a bear naked for a minute with a bread knife, right? Part one, am I naked or is the bear? Right. Part two, or let a lion maul you. Or let a lion maul you for 10 seconds whilst wearing chainmail. To me, that suggests the lion's wearing chainmail. Would you rather let a lion maul you for 10 seconds whilst wearing chainmail? That grammatically, that is the question, is saying a lion gets to maul you whilst wearing chainmail.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm going for the bear.
Damn right. See, the bear is...
If that's the way we're seeing it, then yeah, the bear, definitely.
Even if it's not, I'm not having a lion mauling you. A chainmail is not going to protect you from a lion mauling you. Like, chainmail just protects your body. He's going to chew my face off. Like, chainmail is...
Well, you could turn your head. You could kind of protect your face with your arms. That kind of thing.
Oh, no way. He'd eat those arms in seconds.
A bear would fuck you up. A bear, you would not last a minute.
Even if I'm naked, I throw the knife at the bear's face and I just fucking sprint.
You realise that, gunshots don't take down bears, right? You would get fucked up by a bear. It wouldn't matter. If you tried to run, it would catch you
But the bear might get bored and just sit there on me, thinking, oh, I'm winning this fight. Whereas the lion says mauling you.
It says you're fighting a bear, so that implies that it's, you know, it is coming after you.
But what if my fight style is running away?
You're gonna die. Happens to people who've been mauled by bears? It is not.
But the bear isn't mauling me. The lion's mauling me. And it's where
the bear would maul you. It would catch you, and it would just... you would not survive that. If you did, would be like half a person.
Are we in a ring?
That's not said. Like, the arena isn't set. However, Bongo Billy says, like,
you're giving this more gravitas than it deserves.
if you are naked, if Bongo Billy is saying that we are the person that's naked, right? Is there a pro to this? Like, I don't know. Like, are bears scared of naked people? I don't know much knowledge about bears, but like what happens? Like, if I'm naked, what's the pro to that? Because if a bear is naked,
if I'm honest with you, I don't think the nakedness has any bearing on this
fight.
I think Bongo Billy's just a pervert, mate. I think he's just a pervert. Big old Bongos is just a pervert, I think. He just wants us naked, all three of us.
Dirty fucker.
All right, what if all three of us are naked fighting a bear?
Jesus, thank God you added the bear there. I
don't know, because
like,
I'm fairly certain you'd just push me at the bear and run away.
You're talking to Adam there? Or
I'm talking to you. You know it.
I think that's really harsh. I would stand there, and I look like a bear anyway, so I'm just going to stand there as a bear-on-bear action and say, lads...
Oh,
no, Adam's got the beard. Adam looks more like a bear. I'm going to say, lads, I've got this. You two run. Save yourselves. But tell your children of my heroism. Write songs about me.
I'm just
thinking bear-on-bear action is like a fucking title for this podcast.
Yeah, probably right, actually. It's better than the one I had.
I have the worst image in my head now of just the three of us in an arena, naked, fighting a bear.
I have that image too, but I'm really excited about it. Like, I'm thinking like gladiator style, like thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yeah, is it like a gladiator production for Brazzers?
Yeah. I'm really pleased that you think we'd make it on Brazzers.
But here, listen, we're high quality, we are.
Yep. I mean, that seems like as good a time as any to end the podcast. I want to say thank you to Adam and Gary for being here this week, obviously. A bit of a different kind of podcast this week. I feel like it's been less jocular, more serious perhaps. But I think we're all just aware of the elephant in the room. It's more like a rhinoceros on the horizon. That, you know, we've got a lot of big games coming still. I think a lot of people have got it in their heads, like Red Dead. Oh, well, once Red Dead's out, so it's fine. We're clear. We're done. But it's like, no. There's Hitman, Fallout, Just Cause, Pokemon,
Darksiders.
Like Darksiders. There are games still to come this year. It doesn't seem like it's going to stop anytime soon. Does sound like Game of the Year is going to be fun this year.
One question I leave us, lads. How many times, roughly and quickly, are we going to talk about Red Dead in future pods? How long is it? It's going to definitely take Horizon. It's going to overtake Horizon
levels. Yeah.
But it's going to be worse than Horizon. I feel like,
well, better than you could. I mean, that's a negative way of looking at it. It's like,
No.
Well, you've got the whole thing of the multiplayer doesn't come out till like the month after.
Yeah,
so it's going to reignite the sort of the conversations. We're gonna be talking about this one a lot. I think
we are. That
was inevitable anyway. It's Red Dead, isn't it? Yeah. It's been that game for the entire year that everyone's waiting for.
It's weird that it's nearly here.
It is, and you know, next week we can also talk about like Call of Cthulhu next week, I suppose. There's games, lots of games to come. But thank you guys for being here. I say, why don't we just finish this podcast and go and play some Blackout? I don't know. It's just a thought. Let's just forget about the world and shoot people in the face. And
that's, that's
probably too close. Never mind. Thank you very much for listening. And you know, also patreon.com. It's too late. That was a perfect ending. I've ruined it. Thank you very much for watching or listening in this case. And we will see you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye-bye for now.